Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 82, a Psalm of Asaph.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kennard Levy Brown speaking. I'm your host for the Merciful Servants of God Biblical Instructional Program. Today we're going to continue. Last week I was talking about signs in the sky, and this is part two because people are really, certainly biblically, being a little over-concerned. I wouldn't say a little, tremendously over-concerned. I just got through looking at the special broadcast that the governor of Ohio gave. There's going to be a lot of people coming to Ohio. And I live in the Columbus, Ohio area, and I had no clue that people are taking this event like it's going to be the second coming of Messiah. That's how people are reacting. And I was telling my wife the other day, if people took God's word this serious, we wouldn't have the chaos that's going on in the world right now. But human beings have a tendency, we all do, to take something and put more importance in it than what it should be. And this is a perfect case for that. So I'm hoping that you pay attention to the words of God today. Now, first of all, I'm not saying that this is not an event that God is causing, because it is. I mean, God is responsible for everything. And sure, there should be some message involved in this, but not to the point of acting like something could happen dramatically, or this is going to bring the second coming of Christ, and this is the sixth seal, and so forth. That is I hate to say it, but that is pure ignorance of not understanding the Bible and what it has revealed. And so, but it is something to prove the existence of God. When you see this, hopefully it'll motivate you to repent and get closer to God and start following the teachings of this ministry. We're one of the few ministries on this planet Earth that's actually teaching the truth out the Bible. If you don't believe me, listen to my podcast. View my videos. All right. We are on YouTube. Just type in Merciful Servants of God on the YouTube channel, and we will pop up and subscribe. It's a free subscription, and we have various teachings on the YouTube channel to help you to understand who the true God of the Bible is. But anyway, in Genesis 1, verse 14, it says, "And Yodevahi, or God, said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs." Now, this Hebrew word signs is up, okay? And what does it mean? It means a beacon, a mark, okay, a token, and for seasons, and for days and years. All right, so we know we have biblical credence that this is occurring because of what God is saying here. But here's the problem. God tells us the following in Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2-5. He says, "Thus says the Lord." This is not Kennard Brown speaking. This is the Lord. All he's doing is using me to preach his word. So if you get upset about what I'm getting ready to say, get arguing fuss with him and see how far you get. But anyway, thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. And be not dismayed at the sign. I'm reading the King James. A better translation is the NET translation. Let me read this in the NET translation here. It says right here, and I'm going to break this down here so that you can understand it. The Lord says, do not start following, that's a better translation, pagan religious practices. And one of them is this, to be in awe of signs that occur in the sky, even though the nations hold them in awe. So we're not supposed to be in awe of things in the sky, folks, according to the scriptures. You may not have been aware of that before, but that's one of the things that this ministry does. We give you things that more than likely you're not aware of, okay? And then the Hebrew word for awe is hatat, and it means to be shattered, dismayed, to scare, okay? So you're not supposed to be afraid of things in the sky. That's what your Bible says. And so it says, for the religion of these people is worthless. Now, this is interesting. I just realized this. It's comparing being afraid of things in the sky to probably the most deceptive religious practice of all time, the Christmas celebration. Verse 3, for the religion of this people is worthless. It's in the same context. Viewing being afraid of or just thinking that something traumatic is going to happen to you or some other earthquake or whatever. God is saying not to be afraid of things like that. And he's equating this, or this is in the context of a tree that is cut and decked with gold and silver. And you know exactly what God is referring to here. Verse 3, for the religion of these people is worthless. They cut down a tree in the forest, and the craftsman makes it into an idol with his tools. He decorates it with overlays of silver and gold. He uses hammer and nails to fasten it together so that it will not fall over. Such idols are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. I'm reading this in the NET translation. They cannot talk. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them because they cannot hurt you, and they do not have any power to help you. So what God is saying here, we got the skies, signs in the skies are not idols for us to worship. Similarly, when you take a tree out of the forest and deck it with silver or gold to put in your home, that's not something you should be practicing. That is a pagan or non-biblical tradition that we should not be doing. And so I just wanted to point that out. Many of you probably don't even know that these scriptures exist because most Americans don't even read the Bible, unfortunately. But I suggest you do this. This sign that you look at and you're going to bust your neck to go see or whatever, let it motivate you to start listening to this ministry, the messages of this ministry. Let it motivate you to understand that there is a God, okay? And this God controls everything, and he's responsible for the signs that everyone's going to see, for those who want to see it. It's going to also be broadcast online if you don't want to go see it personally. But on time and date, that's the website is going to be broadcast. But use it to motivate you to want to obey God and realize that God exists. When these things happen, it proves that God exists. That's what you should be in awe of, not, oh, something's going to happen. You know, you shouldn't be into that, but it should motivate you to be in awe of God, to be of his tremendous power and majesty. That's what you should be using this to think about, not some catastrophe that may happen, all right? Last week, I told you the sign that we need to be looking for as far as that, and I may go over that again. But I want to go over what Romans chapter 1 says about God and how great he is. All right? So let me find this here. And, of course, my cat has to make noise while I'm preaching. So anyway, right here, and I'm going to put this in the King James Version because it's pretty good in the King James Version. Romans 1 verse 18. God's wrath on the unrighteous, that is the subheading here in the King James. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now, this is one of the ways that he shows that he exists, through these signs, through the sign that you're going to see tomorrow. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are not without excuse. So when you see this sign tomorrow or across the United States, you are not without excuse. There is a God. And then verse 20, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. And so we are made in God's image. And, you know, whenever I read this, I think about Charles Darwin and his idiotic theory of evolution. All right. And he says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through, and that also means that people were creating statues that look like animals and actually worshiping animals and all that. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, this is interesting that this is in the context of understanding who the true God is. And this is talking about, of course, homosexuality, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. So when you go and, you know, act like you're worshiping what's going to happen tomorrow, you're worshiping the creation more so than the creator. All right. And that's not the kind of attitude you should have when you look at this event tomorrow, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. Let me go back to the scripture I was quoting. The lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Okay, so let's understand what he was talking about there in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, women desiring each other sexually. Verse 27, and likewise also the men having the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. So this is male homosexuality. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their or the result or the consequence of their error which was met. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things. What does that mean, reprobate? Let's take a look. Unapproved, unworthy, worthless mind. Your mind is not able to think straight, all right? To do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. So debating is not good, folks. That's why I hate politics. I wanted to read that. Fooling around, arguing and fussing, going back and forth, trying to dig skeletons out of the closet, which we all have. All right. That's why this one verse should say that politics, the way it's done, is not right. All right. Deceit, malignity, whisperers or gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural. These are the people that think the law is done away with, which unfortunately is most of traditional Christianity, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And our ministry is called the Merciful Service of God. Only people that desire to be merciful are attracted to this ministry. All right. And verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, folks, when you look at this outstanding and miraculous event that's going to happen tomorrow, don't be afraid. Don't worship it. Think of the eternal God and how great he is and how majestic he is. That is the right way, the right attitude to have when you view this spectacular event tomorrow. And don't be afraid. It's not a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, because let me tell you what the sign we need to be looking for as far as that's concerned. I stated this last week. I'll go ahead and do it again. In Revelation chapter 6, some people are incorrectly and ignorantly preaching that this is going to be fulfillment of the sixth seal. The sixth seal doesn't occur until after the tribulation, folks, and we haven't even reached that yet. And so right here, it states here, and I'm going to prove this to you in a minute. And he says right here in Revelation 6, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, all right? And the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. Now, this is not even, if you want to relate this to an astronomical event, it's not even a total solar eclipse. So let's take a look at this, courtesy of Copilot AI. It states here that a blood red moon is a term used to describe a, oh, it is. It is to describe a total lunar eclipse. Okay? Oh, a total lunar. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had to correct myself. Yeah, a blood red moon is not a total solar eclipse. It's a total lunar eclipse. It's a difference. And so for people to say that this is a fulfillment of the sixth seal just on that alone, they're wrong. This is not going to be a total lunar eclipse that's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be a total solar eclipse. It's a difference between the two, and I'm going to describe that here in a minute, courtesy of Microsoft Copilot, an AI program. And so it says a blood red moon, a term often used to describe a total lunar eclipse. This happens when the moon is completely covered by Earth's shadow because the Earth has moved between the moon and the sun, blocking the sun's light from reaching the moon. During this event, the moon takes a reddish color. This is because some sunlight still reaches the lunar surface indirectly via the Earth's atmosphere, bathing the moon in a reddish, yellow, or orange glow. As the sun's rays pass through the atmosphere, some colors in the light spectrum, those toward the violet spectrum, are filtered out by a phenomenon called Rayleigh scattering. This is the same mechanism that causes colorful sunrises and sunsets. Red wavelengths are least affected by this effect, so the light reaching the moon's surface has a reddish hue, causing the fully eclipsed moon to take on a red color. The term blood moon is also sometimes used to refer to four total lunar eclipses that happen in the span of 2 years, a phenomenon astronomers call a lunar tetrad. The eclipses in the tetrad occur about 6 months apart from five uneclipsed full moons between them. This means that the lunar tetrads are rare occurrences, leading some to attach special, even religious significance to these events. And I'm glad they added that because that's exactly right. People just go get fanatical about this. Now, what is a total solar eclipse? A total solar eclipse, not solar, but solar, a total, let me drink some water here. My voice is getting a little scratchy here. Let me do that here real quick. A total solar eclipse is a celestial event that occurs when the moon moves in front of the sun. So the moon moves in front of the sun, completely blocking its face. This causes the bright sky to darken to twilight in just seconds. The track of the moon's shadow is called the path of totality. The most recent total solar eclipse in the U.S. was in 2017, but an interval of only 7 years is unusual. The previous one before that took place in 1979, and the next one visible in the United States will not be until August 2044. So after this, we're not going to see another one for a very long time. The total solar eclipse that will traverse a large chunk of the continental U.S. on Monday, along with parts of Mexico and Canada, will be one of the most spectacular celestial events in recent memory. If you live anywhere in the path of totality or can travel to it, you have a front row seat. Just remember, you need eclipse glasses, so please don't go blind or tear up your eyes with this, okay? Just remember, you need eclipse glasses to look at all times other than the few minutes of the full eclipse, but everyone in North America outside the past should be able to see it, at least a partial eclipse of varying percentages. So that's the difference between a total solar eclipse, which does not involve any red color, total lunar eclipse. So I hope that gives you a little education on what this is. And then when people are thinking that this is the sixth seal, they certainly, on a scientific basis and biblical basis, but certainly a scientific basis, I'll say it kindly, they don't know what they're talking about. All right, so I just wanted to plainly give you that definition. So let's get back to the Bible here. The sixth seal, which has not happened yet, all right? So, and I beheld, and lo, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And people say it's going to be an earthquake. Well, it may or may not, but that doesn't mean that's the sixth seal. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood and as the stars of heaven. It certainly ain't literal stars here. It's talking about, or not, I said ain't, are not stars. They are meteors, obviously, fell into the earth, even as a fig tree cast of her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll. So there's a whole bunch of events going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, for you. For anyone to match this event with the biblical description here is not really accepting what the scriptures reveal. when it is rolled together in every mountain and island. So every mountain and island is going to be mild in this place. I doubt that happens tomorrow. And the king, that means every island and mountain in the world. Okay, well, obviously, I can pretty much assure you that's not going to happen. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and everyone, and not everyone's going to hide themselves in the dens and the rocks, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. So the day of the Lord is not coming tomorrow, folks. Okay, so let's understand that. Let's believe what the Bible reveals here, okay? And let's understand this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1. I quoted this scripture last week, and I'm going to do it again. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. So what is this referring to, a sign from heaven, all right? And so this is certainly referring to, and then the other scripture that I quoted, let me go back to Jeremiah again. It's a pretty interesting description of the sign here. Jeremiah chapter 10 in the NET version here. Chapter 10, right here. Okay, so what this word is referring to, the signs here, the Hebrew word translated as things that go on in the sky refers to unusual disturbances such as eclipses. Okay, so this is what God is talking about. You know, don't get so excited about eclipses. So it says the Hebrew word translated as things that go on the sky refers to unusual disturbances such as eclipses, comets, meteors, but also to such things as changes in the position of the sun, moon, and stars in conjunction with the changes in seasons. That's in Genesis 1, verse 14. It says, the people of Assyria and Babylonia worshiped the sun, moon, and stars, thinking that these heavenly bodies had some hold over them. So we can't get into that, okay? We can't get into being in awe, being afraid of this, creating ridiculous prophecies that won't be fulfilled about it. We can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what Christ meant in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew again. Matthew chapter 16 says, now when the Pharisees and Sadducees, let me read this in the King James. So it states here, the Pharisees also and the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. So he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky. Yes, the governor is saying, hey, we can predict this, predict that. I don't know if it was the governor, someone is saying, hey, we can accurately do that. We can predict it. But we can't even understand the signs of the times, meaning we don't understand that it's because of our behavior that things aren't peaceful in this world. It's because of our behavior that we have catastrophic events happen. And verse 4, he says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. So this all goes on hand in hand with Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 to 5. And there shall no sign be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And some people saying this is similar to the sign of, no, it's not. There's a distinction between the two. You can't compare this to the sign of Jonah. Let's get biblically educated, folks. All right. So that's not what it's talking about. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a grip here. Let's let the word of God cleanse us and let us understand that, sure, the prophecies reveal in Luke chapter 21, there's going to be signs, okay? But the signs we need to be looking for are the signs that are revealed in the Olivet prophecy, okay? I'm going to go to Luke chapter 21. He says right here, verse 10, and he said, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in various places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights. Okay, this is going to happen when all this stuff is going to appear. Fearful sights and great signs there shall be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay. So he's talking about this. And let me scroll down here in Luke chapter 21. So he's talking about Jerusalem being destroyed and the tribulation. He says, woe those who are pregnant in those times, okay? There will be great stress. And then he talks about in verse 25, and there shall be, and this is after the tribulation, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. and great distress on the earth. Men's hearts failing for fear and for looking for those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then in Matthew chapter 24 is even a better and clearer description of when we need to be take notice of the sign. It certainly isn't now, okay, but after the tribulation. I'm about to read this to you right now. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, we haven't even hit the tribulation yet. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. This is a blood red moon. This is a total solar eclipse, this is a total lunar eclipse. It's not a total solar eclipse. All right. The sun shall be dark and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. All right. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. So the timing is off, thinking that, for one thing, again, it's a total solar eclipse. It's not a total lunar eclipse. Okay. There's a difference between the two, as I tried to explain. The total lunar eclipse is the famous blood red moon that people have been writing books about and all that. All right. And the total solar eclipse is what is going to happen tomorrow. The description of the sixth seal is not a total, lunar eclipse, which involves the blood red moon, but a total solar eclipse. In other words, the sixth seal is a description of a total lunar eclipse. All right. Not a total solar eclipse. Okay. A total solar eclipse is going to occur tomorrow, and it has nothing to do with any colors. No blood red moon. All right. So again, a total solar eclipse is going to happen tomorrow. The total lunar eclipse is what the Bible is describing here as far as the sixth seal is concerned. And it's going to happen, as I showed you, after the tribulation, which we haven't even gotten any close to the tribulation right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to see this, just be in awe of God. Don't be afraid. Don't think if something happens, the second coming of Christ is going to happen. Don't think the whole world is going to blow up and it's the end of the world. That's not the right approach. If you start thinking that way, you're thinking like a heathen. All right. Don't think like a heathen. So anyway, may Yah bless and keep you, and Yah willing, I'll be available next week. Take care. And I usually broadcast on Sunday between 10 o'clock, between 10 and 11:30. Around that time, I'm going to start. Take care.
Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts.
Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.